Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. It's May 3rd, 2019. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with Nick O'Gorman. Nick is an Ottawa-based artist who has worked in all areas of the medium, including penciling, lettering, inking, coloring, and writing. His work includes Ghoul Squad, Misfits, Skull, The Solentonus Agency, The Boy with a Balloon for a Head, Stargirl, Elvis the Zombie Goes to Prison, and much more. I interviewed Nick last year about his work, Brown Moor. During our chat, Nick talked about his new project called Beyond the Wall of Sleep, an adaptation of the H.P. Lovecraft short story. Nick described his reason for using Kickstarter and offered some advice for those planning to use the service for their own projects. But first, here is some of the current news about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. VOCM reported on the first comic book created by three Newfoundlanders. Nobody is in Control features art by Paul Tucker, a variant cover by Judd Haynes, and lettering by Wallace Ryan. All three are based in St. John's, Newfoundland. You can read more about this new comic book at VOCM.com. CBC News published an article that reported on a new comic book from Scott Chandler that honors the Chatham Colored All-Stars team. Scott was quoted as saying, "I had no idea about any of this history. I found it fascinating. It's been a terrific project to be a part of." You can read more at cbc.ca/news. The Post Journal interviewed Kurt Lerner about his upcoming appearance at Chautauqua Comics during Free Comic Book Day on Saturday, selling his artwork and offering autographs. When asked about how he got started in the business, Kurt said, "I used to watch Speed Buggy, Laugh Olympics, Gilligan's Planet, etc. I always chose to get up at 6 a.m. because I knew that's when the cartoon started. I was in third grade and drew the image of my teacher and the school were over the top about it. I didn't understand why it was such a big uproar." You can read more at post-journal.com. TV Ontario broadcast a segment entitled Changing the Way We Look at Comics, with a focus on the Canada Comics Open Library. With a collection of more than 700 books, the collection was described as a medium rather than a narrowly defined genre. Now you can see the video segment on tvo.org. And now, here's my chat with Nick O'Gorman.
So right now, I'm just finishing up, well, it's already done, but I just did a 28-page story called Beyond the Wall of Sleep. It's an adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft short story by the same name. It's a story that I've always loved since I was a kid and first read it, so I've just been, it's been mulling around in my head for a good long time, and now I finally got committed to paper. So I've got it drawn, colored, inked, ready to go. And so, yeah, I've just been around trying to market that.
Now, I remember last time we chatted, you have a fondness for the horror genre and comic books, and I was wondering that you mentioned that you had some influences. Just wondering if you could talk about what inspired you to create this story.
This one in particular, there's a problem when it comes to adapting H.P. Lovecraft, and it is his subtlety. A lot of the stuff is like the nameless horror. He focuses so much on like the reactions of the first person narrator and stuff like that. So comics demand something a lot less subtle. Like, there's no subtlety here. You have to show it kind of. So right off the bat, like, that was deciding to tackle it a completely different kind of way. So that was the first thing to kind of try and do. So rather than make a subtle comic and not show, you know, these horrors and entities and stuff, and leave it to like the horrors of the imagination, I decided to just try to give it as cool as an artistic interpretation as I could for everything, and kind of that be the starting point. So it's filled with psychedelic colors. It's filled with a whole bunch of stuff you wouldn't expect from kind of, you know, that era of horror writing.
Now, I see only one name on this project. I remember you've got a lot of skills. I presume that you've done this whole thing yourself?
Yeah, well, with the exception of the short story. But yeah, so I'd adapted it. I'd made some changes. One of the biggest ones, H.P. Lovecraft never wrote a story with a woman lead. So I figured right off the bat I wanted to, like, you know, get some women in his work because he didn't put them there.
Yeah, definitely switch things up a bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I also changed the time as well. The original was based in like 1920, and I moved it up a bit to 1950, just for a couple of the narrative reasons. Wanted more cars and a bit more tech in there, but not quite modern day.
It definitely is a change. I mean, I've for people who are into Lovecraft, it definitely goes to that realm of the extreme. And I notice as the book progresses, if it goes off the deep end, right?
Yeah, it's kind of the slow burn at the beginning. Like the first page is like this ethereal kind of. There's a quote at the beginning of the story, and I had to do a lot of research to find out if it was an original Lovecraft's like original publication from 1919, because it's just this Shakespeare quote out of nowhere. So the first page is kind of a cosmic ethereal one with the quote, and then immediately I show you exactly like why this is different than most Lovecraft. Like it's a pretty big gore fest at the initial first page turn, and then from there it's a slow burn as we go towards like just this complete I don't know, like just others, like psychedelic landscapes, and things get pretty crazy.
So what's your plan for this? I mean, typically when you create a work like this, your goal is to get it out to a broad audience, and I'm wondering how you're doing that.
Yeah, so this is the kind of shopped it around. I had some interest and stuff, but I decided I just wanted to put it out myself, so took to Kickstarter with it. The main thing is I really want to do a lot of different adaptations of Lovecraft's work and come up with some sort of comprehensive volume on it. So this was one of his first stories, so I figured it should be one of mine, and I've got a lot more in the sights after this, so just gonna work the Kickstarter, and most of that money will go towards making the next one as well. So the next one I have up is Walls of Eryx and Dagon, which is a classic.
Now, is your goal, like this is a digital version that I'm looking at right now, I presume at some point you want to have a print version?
Yeah, this one's going to actually come out in print. It's a 28-page story, so it's like a perfect size kind of thing, so it'll have some bonus content in there too, and just really pad it out. It'll be quite the experience. There'll be some making of stuff in the back. I might throw in an essay or two about my thoughts about Lovecraft and adapting it, and, you know, just, there's so much minutiae around him. There's such a long fandom that's followed him that you can find pretty much everything about him, so it's kind of like trying to sieve through all that and find out what really speaks to me in his work.
Well, it seems that the horror genre is something that's sort of coming back to the mainstream as a popular item. We've seen it in the, certainly in the movies with Us and Get Out, and now
yes. And on like Netflix, like that, like mm-hmm. when we're talking about a Netflix movie or something that's an original, like it tends to be like a horror slant or a sci-fi horror slant, and it gets people talking. So,
and I know recently in Toronto, Shane Herring, Casey Parsons, and his team have worked on Cauldron magazine, which has a horror bent in some occasions. So I was sort of reminiscing, saying that horror seems to be the thing that people are gravitating towards these days.
Yeah, it's nice that there's always been other options in comics and superheroes, but it's nice when a genre kind of goes away for a bit and then can come back with, you know, a lot of people who read it the first time around or something, who are inspired by older stuff, and just, you know, with all the new stuff, just trying to do their own thing, put their own voice to it.
Yeah, I think back to the days of Eerie magazine and those sorts of things, where horror was I would say taboo in quotation marks, and it was like the thing to watch and read, and it's sort of gone by the wayside, so to speak, with our comic books of today. So it's definitely something that's, I would say, be coming back slowly but surely to the forefront.
Yeah, for sure. It's been like obviously like the EC stuff, and like you can't look at Wally Wood stuff from EC in the 50s and say that it wasn't just amazing. That was where a lot of the guys wanted to one up each other, so there was a lot of competition there on those pages. So hopefully something like this will kind of get people, you know, doing the same again.
And you're using Kickstarter to get this out the door, I hear.
Yeah, so I'm using Kickstarter to pay for the print and then to continue on doing, like, the stretch goals will inevitably be a couple more stories that will be included with this first one. So, yeah, I got a lot of stuff coming up.
So you've done Kickstarter before. This is nothing new to you. I'm wondering if you have any advice for those who might be thinking about using Kickstarter as a means for getting their work published.
Yeah, for sure. I've been participating in a lot of them. This is the first one I've run. So on the side of participating with them, I would always like help people out with theirs by offering like silkscreen originals and stuff that would give kind of like value added to whatever campaign. And like a couple of the books I've appeared in have been kickstarted, but as this is the first one I was running, so crunching all the numbers took forever, like planning all the reward tiers. You have to think about what people are like. I know for a fact that my silkscreen numbered prints sell. Like, that's what I did for other people. It's pretty guaranteed. So that's, I think, one of the most popular things on the Kickstarter right now, and they're going to be in some really bright kind of neons and electric blues and just really cool like the psychedelic stuff that you'd expect after looking at the end half of this comic. So it'll be cool to have those out there. I've got some original pages too, and those are going to be first come, first serve as far as the people who actually bid on those. I've sold one so far, so they're going to have the pick of the litter. But there's a lot of good pages here.
I hear from some other people who have tried Kickstarter that pricing can sometimes be the sticking point, whether it's priced too high or too low, and find that right sort of sweet spot, I guess, is the key thing.
Yeah, and like PDFs is always like the good way to go, because like, you know, you can charge pretty little and you can get people in the door, and if they like your first thing, they'll probably follow you to the next. So as far as physical, it is hard to ask people to pay, you know, like more than $7 for like, you know, a floppy book. So I can empathize with that. So I try to just make the value added of the other things kind of make up that difference when you're being asked to pay for such like an expensive book. So that keeps the cost down on that. So posters and you know, prints. I've got a couple commission ones where you can commission me to do different things. I've got like a Lovecraftian sketch tier where pretty much I'll just ask you what your favorite H.P. Lovecraft story is and just kind of put it through my head and draw you something.
So promotion. How do you expect beyond social media to promote this this work that you've done?
I've got a couple of methods. Tomorrow night I've got an interview on like the Carleton, Ottawa radio station. My buddy Liam Burke, he runs a literary podcast, so I'm gonna be on that. So it'll be fun to talk about the writings of Lovecraft and adapting them. I also will be attending TCAF for the first time ever. Really excited about that. I don't have a table or anything. I'm just gonna go around letting people know the news about this book.
Well, that's a good thing to do for sure. I know that TCAF, it's very tough to get in. I've been talking to some creators, and the criteria to get in is really tough for sure.
Oh, yeah, I have this one friend, and he's like kind of a couple steps above me. And when he told me he didn't get in as a pro, I was like, okay, fair enough. Yeah.
But it is definitely a great place to meet and network.
Yeah,
with fellow creators, that's for sure.
The thing is Ottawa Comic Con, where I'm from, it's usually the same weekend, I'm pretty sure. So this is the first time I'm kind of ditching that in favor of going to this. I don't know. It's not like fan driven, right? It's kind of creators looking and talking to creators. So that'll be fun.
Do you have plans to attend any other events later in the year?
Yeah, I'm going to be going to New York for the first time ever too this year. So that'll be great. Just, you know, showing my portfolio around. Getting people's eyes on it and trying to get some, you know, some bigger work.
For people who want to find out more about your project Beyond the Wall of Sleep and your own stuff, where do you recommend they go?
I'm on Instagram and Twitter. Most of my stuff, you just search That Nick OG, one word. That's going to get you to where you need to go. As far as the Kickstarter, just search Beyond the Wall of Sleep or even what a derivative thereof. You'll find it. It's there. We're ending it in May 31st, so you got some time to check everything out and, you know, give it a like, give it a share, help spread the word.
Thanks to Nick for the chat. You can find Nick on Twitter at TheNickOG and online at nick-og.deviantart.com. And you can find the Kickstarter project for Beyond the Wall of Sleep on Kickstarter.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics podcast. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to and like this podcast on Apple Podcasts, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. I encourage you to follow along on Twitter at TrueNorthComics. Please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2019.